Now we look at the gospel. It's Matthew 22:34-40. Now, this is going to be an expansion, as it always is, of the first reading. You remember in the first reading, you know, it was saying, don't oppress an alien, take care of the widow and the orphan, you know, be kind and considerate when you lend something to your neighbor. And our Lord is going to sum all this up. In two commandments. So, the Pharisees had just heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees. Now that's about resurrection. We'll take a look at it just for a minute so you can find the context. If you remember, we had two before this. We're in a conflict situation. The first was the wedding feast. We had that. And then we had the paying the taxes to the emperor. You remember that? That was last week. The role of living in the state, bearing witness to the state. Help, you know, as von Bonhoeffer said, the role of a Christian is to help the state be a better state, which is very beautifully put. Okay, now, he heard that he silenced the Sadducees. They gathered together, and one of them, a scholar of the law, a nomikos, pirazon apton. Why putting him to the test? Why not just ask him? Now, this was classical among the experts of the law. There is this rabbinic phrase, recite the whole law while you stand on one foot. It's very Semitic to talk like this. Meaning, can you sum the whole thing up? You see? Now, they, in a way, were opposed to that. You can't drop anything. Everything is equally important. But in another way, they had this, give me the whole law. Give me the whole Kol HaTorah while you stand on one foot. And so then they would. So that's what they're doing to Jesus. If he thinks he's a rabbi, let's find out how smart he is. You see? So they gathered together, and one of them, a nomikos, a scholar, nomos in Greek is a word for law. So he's a lawyer, or well translated here, a scholar of the law, tested him. Why couldn't they just ask him? Pirazon, pirasmos, that's what the devil does. You see? Test him, tempt him, put him to the test. You see? Why not just relax and say, Jesus, what's your opinion? Because he threatens them. He threatens their positions of power. But he also, see, the average Jewish guy, he didn't have any problem with Jesus. He liked what he heard. And he was glad that his wife got healed. But these experts had problems. Teacher, didaskele, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Stand on one foot and give me the law. So he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. This is the first and greatest of the commandments. As you know, that's the famous Shema. It's in Deuteronomy. I want to tell you about this Shema bit. I'm going to look it up. Should be in Deuteronomy 6, unless my mind is getting old and senile or something. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Elohecha, Adonai Echad. Let's see if we can't find it here. Is it 4? No, it's 6. Well, I'll just have to recite it without the book, I guess. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Elohecha, Adonai Echad. Listen, Israel, the Lord, Adonai. You see, is your God, Adonai Echad, just Adonai. is your God. You see, va'ahavta, and you shall love Adonai Echad, v'kol levavacha, v'kol nefshecha, v'kol mo'odecha, and you shall love the Lord your God with all you've got. Now, ahav, love, does mean affection, but it also means obedience. Ahav. You see, you shall choose the Lord your God. But kol levavacha, kol nafshecha, kol mo'odecha, all your heart, which is the center of your being, all your nefesh, which is all your feelings, all your memory, all your operational stuff, and mo'odecha, all your wealth, all your force, all your friends, all your money, all your... It's a beautiful story they tell about Rabbi Akiva. I think I've told you this before, but maybe we got people who didn't hear it before. It's worth listening to. You see? Rabbi Akiva was arrested. The Romans had said after the revolt of... I forgot his name, the man, the star man. Anyway, you could no longer teach Torah. It's dangerous. You get all these Jews stirred up. Well, Rabbi Akiva said, this is my life. I'm just going to have to go on teaching. So he went. They got him. They put him on a grill, and they're going to roast him. And they did. As they started to roast him, it was time to recite, sing the Shema 3 times a day. Origen says, we've replaced the Shema with the Our Father. 3 times a day, say the Our Father. Anyway, so he started to sing. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eliheka, and he's singing away as they're killing him. So his disciples say, Rabotai, Rabbi, now you're doing this? And he said, all my life, I have wondered what it meant to love the Lord with all my soul. And now I know. And singing Echad, the last word, remember I recited it, Adonai Echad, alone. He sang Echad and he died. God alone. That's so important. If we don't have that, all the social action in the world is just that, social action. It might help people get out of debt, money, sickness, but does it bring them to eternal life? Everybody we're working so hard to help is going to die. That's not discouraging. But are we letting them know about the Father? Okay. So that's Rabbi Akiva. So here's the interesting thing then, you see. So you shall love, this is the Greek of it, see. Oliti psychisu, oliti dianiasu. In the Greek, it's not quite so... You know, more than everything you got, your car, your money, your friends, all your force. You see? Okay. Then he says, and this is so important, the second is like it. It's not another commandment. It's like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. From these two hang all the law and the prophets. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the law. Be as nice to everybody as you are to yourself. Man, that's a high standard, isn't it? I mean, we're all egomaniacs. Now we have to be neighbor maniacs. We have to love, you see? And that's the whole law. Right there. Love the Lord, love your neighbor. That's the whole law. Care about them. Who cares most about the neighbor, in my experience, and not only mine, the poor? The poor are more likely to take care of one another than the rich are to take care of one another, or the poor. They tell this beautiful story, Mother Teresa used to tell it. She had one bowl of rice left in the house. I think I might have told you this before, but it's worth repeating, I hope. And a woman came to her, carrying a child. She said, Mother Teresa, I haven't eaten all day. My child hasn't eaten all day. Is there anything you could give me? Mother Teresa took this one bowl of rice and said, "Here, my dear, take it." So that woman, carrying her child, went outside, found her neighbor, divided it in two, gave half to the other woman whose child was in the same situation, and they both split it. And that's loving your neighbor as yourself. A starving poor woman, not saying, "I'm going to take this, I got it for 2 days, or I got some food," and no, give it away. Now, the funny thing is that the poor are more likely to do that than the rich. You know, we got everything, so we don't want to part with anything. They don't have anything, so what, you know, just give it away. You find that a lot. Now, if you want to love your neighbor as yourself, first, you got to find out, what do I want most for myself? A new coat? A Cadillac? A trip around the world? What do I want most for myself? Eternal life? Then that's what I want most for my neighbor. So, with all courtesy and humor and respect, I'm going to tell them about the Lord. That's the most precious thing I can give them. But if they're hungry, I'm going to feed them first. Listen to the gospel. They're starving. I don't think they do it anymore, but some groups caring for the poor would sit everybody down, even if they never heard of God or never heard of Jesus in their life. They would sit them down, read a passage from the Bible, and preach to them before they'd feed them. So of course, they're going to endure this. They want the food. But that's unfair. That's unfair. Show them the love of Christ in your eyes and feed them. I remember once I was working in a soup kitchen. It was up in Canada. And I'm dishing out this food, and this guy comes up to the counter, and he says, "Father, look, I'm a drunk." I said, "Yeah. I'm going to always be a drunk. Yeah. Tell me, what can I do good down here on Skid Row? How can I please God down here? I'm a drunk." I said, "Did you ever roll anybody? You know, they're asleep. Roll, I don't know if you know what roll means. They're asleep. You roll them over, take their money, you know. Did you ever steal?" No, I don't do that stuff." "Then you're doing fine. You're doing fine. Try every day to turn your heart to God. Try to ask Jesus to help you, but you're doing okay." How many millionaires give away as much in a day as this guy does? See what I mean? The poor. That's why Jesus was comfortable with them. You see? So, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, who's my neighbor? Well, you know the parable, right? The fellow going down to Jericho, and the priest goes by, the Levite goes by. Finally, the Samaritan, the hated one, goes by, and the one who usually hates the Jews too. What does he do? He stops, he takes care of him. Now, what's the punchline to that parable? Who was neighbor to the man who was wounded? Not, who's my neighbor? How far do I push this neighbor stuff? But who is neighbor to the one? In other words, from my point of view, from looking at it, from my point of view, there's no limit. Everybody is my neighbor, because I am neighbor to everybody. You see how our Lord inverted it? Who was neighbor to the poor man on the road? The Samaritan, the one who took care of him. So he made himself neighbor. He recognized that he was the neighbor. We have to learn that.